to you tonight. I preached this basic outline a few months ago, but I want to preach it again tonight and add some stuff to it because this is the first Sunday of the year. And I want to talk to you tonight about reading the Bible in 2021. I've still got about a week left on 2020. My schedule was not predictable last year, but I'm going to get it in and hopefully get my certificate for 2020. I hope there's a 30-day grace period, amen, to get that word of God in. I'm around the book of Acts, so New Testament can be read fairly quickly for me. Anyway, I'm a fast reader and also a listener too. So I'm going to get it in, but I want to talk to you about 2021. A.W. Tozer said, "The word of God, well understood and religiously obeyed, is the shortest route to spiritual perfection. Nothing less than a whole Bible can make a whole Christian." And I want to be a whole Christian. I want to be full and whole, body, soul, and spirit. So let's talk to you tonight about the four best ways to read your Bible. Would you stand with me and turn to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Now, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus is in a struggle. Jesus had been fasting. We've been talking about fasting starting next week. Matthew chapter 4 is what we call the temptation of Christ. Pastor alluded to it about being thrown off the temple, pinnacle of the temple. So when we read this passage of Scripture, this is in a difficult season. And I know that in our world right now is a difficult season. I know that many of you are going through difficult seasons. I talked to several of the people this morning, but Sister Wanda was telling me how much her and her husband Dan had struggled these last few months with COVID-19, so many others. But what of these difficult situations? What did Jesus do? Look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Read it out loud with me, everyone. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" And really that word proceedeth means it is continually proceeding, and God is speaking to us from the Word. And so, Father, tonight in 2021, we're going to read our Bibles once again, and then the Bible is going to read us, and we're going to be a whole Christian. And I pray, anoint your servant to preach tonight, and we'll give you the praise. And everybody said amen and amen. And turn around and tell somebody you're glad to see them and that you survived 2020. You survived. Made it through. Reading the Bible in 2021. When it comes to reading the Bible, a lot of people have asked this question: is the Bible reliable? There's so many translations, so many seeming contradictions. There's so many views, claims, and other holy books. How can we know for sure that the Bible we hold in our hand is the real deal, is the Word of God? Now, if it were the Word of man, we could put it up, take it down, read it, or whatever. But it's not the Word of man. We believe it is the Word of God. Now, we know the Bible can be proved historically. We know that there are 24,633, we do not have the original autographs. When Matthew wrote the Gospel of Matthew, his literal pen and paper edition is long gone. And it's probably a good idea, though some people would worship that piece of paper. You see, it was recorded and then re-recorded and re-recorded. Well, how do we know that it's accurate? Because we have 24,000 manuscripts of the Word of God. Let's put it in comparison to the Iliad, written by Homer. That is the next closest to having the most manuscripts of an ancient writing. Homer wrote this around, B.C., probably a couple hundred years B.C. I may be messing that up. But we have, listen to this, 600 copies of copies of copies of copies of the Iliad. Notice I said 600. The rest of the writings of ancient history, they're just a few ancient manuscripts of copies of copies. So 24,000. There is no other book in the library. There's no other book that has ever been written in history or in destiny, today or forever. There is no other book that has that many verifiable documents that have floated around. You see, God has watched over His Word. And the Bible is not only a book of miracles. It itself is a miracle book that what you hold in your hand, you can absolutely historically say, this is the Word of God. It has survived forever, O Lord. It is settled in heaven. And we need to read it in 2021. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible can be proven scientifically. Did you know that when scientists discovered penicillin and when they discovered that the earth was not the center of the universe, that we rotated around the sun, all of that was written in the Bible. And people began, in fact, I was reading Genesis chapter 1 just the other day, rereading my Bible for 2021. And I just remembered how God put Adam to sleep. And cut open his side. Just the fact that he was put to sleep and really the first surgery. And aren't you glad when you had open heart surgery and when you had this surgery and that surgery? It's bad enough to have it, but aren't you glad you were asleep? And the little boy in Sunday school had a pain in his side and he said, Mama, I think I'm having a wife. My side is hurting. But you can trust the Bible scientifically. And doctors said anesthesia is what we know it. When somebody read that scripture, running water, quarantine, that wasn't from Dr. Fauci or the White House. Quarantine was prescribed in Leviticus 13:46 for the lepers. When you read about all those laws of the leprosy, God stepped in and saved civilization from a pandemic. Leprosy literally was a man-eating organism that would latch on a body and eat you from the outside to the inside. God said, put them in quarantine. He had compassion for them because most people would kill them. People would torture them, but God had compassion, and medicine and nursing and all of the scientific things can be derived from the Holy Scriptures. It was Christians in the dark days of the bubonic plague and Martin Luther and the great reformers that said, and Charles Spurgeon himself that went into the cholera epidemic in London and said, I will visit my people and love on them. I'm not afraid of that disease. And if I do catch it, then I'll be home in glory. But those people need ministering to and loving on. And the world would just throw the sick away and kill them off and do terrible things. But scientifically, the Bible can be proven. Can you say amen? Prophetically, 1/3 of the Bible is prophetic in nature. It speaks of things to come that we now, the Bible speaks of the two witnesses being seen by the whole world. And it's very specific. Every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. That's just not one that how could that happen? Television has made it happen. So ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is reliable. The Bible is the true word of God. You see, the problem really is not that the Bible is unreliable. The real problem is that the Bible is unread. You see, we know it's the Word of God. You know it's the Word of God, but you've got to read it to have its power work in your life. R.C. Sproul said, here then is the real problem of our negligence. We fail in our duty to study God's Word. Not so much because it's difficult to understand, not so much because it's dull and boring, but because it is work. And our problem is not a lack of intelligence or a lack of passion. Our problem is that we are lazy. And that's what R.C. Sproul said. I was much too kind to ever tell you that. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to read the Bible in 2021. How many of you are planning to read the Bible in 2021? You see, a dusty Bible makes for a dirty life. 7 days without reading the Bible makes one weak. Not W-E-E-K, but W-E-A-K. If you have a Bible that's falling apart, you'll have a life that's not falling apart. and packing my books for our move to our new home. I have several Bibles that are just ragged and worn, and notes. And I was showing Haley the notes when I was her age. When I was 15, I had notes in my Bible, and showing her she ought to do that at 15. Amen. I'm probably a terrible dad, a real dad, you know, because I just tell them what to do. But listen, listen to this. Somebody said if everyone would blow the dust off their Bible, there might be a windstorm. I don't want a windstorm of dust, but I want us to get that Bible open and have a windstorm of the Holy Ghost. His word is forever. His word will make a difference. His word, God sent his word and healed them. And thank God for that we have the Bible. Let's celebrate it and let's give him a hand of praise tonight for the word of God in 2021. Four ways to read the Bible. Number one, read it gratefully. See, if it's a chore, if it's a bore, you won't ever get a hold to it. Be grateful that you have it. Do you understand that it was in so many centuries forbidden for you to have the Bible? People would be executed, burned alive at the stake. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't think about that. But think of being tied down and a match set and you burn till you die. And all, what was your crime? Did you murder? Did you commit some sexual sin, rape or something? No, you had a copy of the Bible and you were a criminal. And people couldn't read and write. Ignorance where you were. They didn't have school systems like we have now. Even if they had a copy of the Bible, only the rich and the very wealthy could read it. Friend, we're just so blessed that before we're 5 years old, we've learned our ABCs. D, E, F, G. We've learned the alphabet. We are blessed to be able to read. And by the way, there are some people who do not know how to read, who have never learned to read. I have two things for you, those who have never learned to read. Number one, there is the Bible on recording that can be read to you. And number two, there is the community college that will give you free classes and it will avail you to learn to read. It will take work and bring dignity to your life if you learn to just simply read. It is important. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is written. Somebody say amen. Be grateful. Are you grateful for the Bible? Are you grateful for John 3:16? Are you grateful for the 23rd Psalm when you're through the valley of the shadow of death? Are you grateful for those 10 blazing commandments that give us order in life and society? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. Oh, aren't you grateful for the Beatitudes? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Aren't you grateful for that great book of Revelation where we're going to see the King of Kings return? And when this world looks in complete chaos and there's rioting and looting, I read the last page of that book and I'm grateful that we're going to have hope and we're going to win. Can you say amen tonight? Come on, give him a hand of praise. One of the most godly countries in all the world is Korea, South Korea. Korea is a peninsula. North Korea, South Korea. North Korea is a barren wasteland, spiritually deprived, souls tumble into hell. There is little electricity, even the nutrition that most people need, they lack it. Why is that? Because their political leaders, deny them from having access to missionaries and the Bible. And God was using Donald J. Trump to get behind and to get into that North Korea. Now, it's not finished yet. And very important what happens this week, for souls are in the balance. But South Korea is a thriving Western civilization, and it is founded on Christianity, and it is had at one time the world's largest church, a Pentecostal church, Paul Youngi Cho back in the day, and all of that. Well, how did the gospel first get to Korea? Very interesting. Robert J. Thomas, a Welshman, was a missionary working in China for the Scottish Bible Society. In the course of his work, he learned that the Korean language is based on Chinese, and as a result, the Korean intellectuals could read Chinese. His main responsibility was towards the millions in China, but the love of Christ for the Koreans constrained him, and he determined to push on to Korea. An American ship called the General Sherman was sailing to Pangwon, a large city in the north, now the capital. He boarded it, but as the ship drew near Pangwon, a sharp fight broke out between the officers of the American ship and the Korean Coast Guard. The ship was burned in the conflict and all the passengers were killed. The death of Thomas was unusual. As the ship and passengers were sinking, he struggled to reach the shore and staggered up out of the water. His arms were filled with books he had rescued. They were all Bibles. He thrust these into the hands of the Koreans, who summarily went and clubbed him to death. But it was one of those copies of the Bible that you leave on the kitchen counter and collect dust. One of those Bibles got a hold of one of those men. And Korea became and is today a great... God will send His Word. I'm grateful for that Bible. I'm grateful for the Scriptures. I love the Word of God. Can you give Him praise here tonight? Amen. Yeah. Believe it or not, there are many today that still can't get a copy of the Bible. And there's modern translations. Be grateful. Now, I grew up on the King James. I'm about to get controversial, Pastor. You may get a few letters and calls. I just want you to know. Be ready. But I know there's some that are King James only. Bless God. Glory to God. And I lovest thou anyway. Amen. And I love the King James. And I do not want to get in controversy tonight. I will only say this. The King James Version was written in 1611. That means in the year 1610, there was no King James Version and before. So pray tell me, what did people read before that? The Bible was not originally written in English. The Bible was originally written in Greek. Because if you say that the King James Version is, bless God, the only Bible there is, then what about the Spanish Bible or the Chinese Bible? I don't know if you can translate thou and thee and wouldest and couldest into Chinese. I'm not making light of it. I'm just saying we can worship things and get things in our mind. What is true is this. The King James Version is a literal translation. You need to have a Bible that is like the King James. I don't know that the these and the thous make it more holy, but understand that God will watch His Word, and in the modern day language, God has a word for us, the Bible, the Word of God. We have modern translations, the King James, the New King James, the ESV, the NASB. New American Standard Bible is one of the most accurate Bibles. They took scholars, they took those 24,000 manuscripts, they evaluated history, and they came up with the most accurate copy of the Word of God that we have today. So if you can't understand the King James, don't say that's an excuse that the Bible's hard to understand. We've got, and even we have Bibles that are more loosely translated. They're not violating the translation. They are putting it, for example, there's paraphrases like the Message. Now that's not should be your main Bible to read, but it's good to read it to get an idea. For example, in the King James, it said that God became flesh and dwelt among us. The NIV says this, God became flesh and blood and became human and dwelt among us. Well, the King James or the Greek never said the word human, but that's what it means. Then to paraphrase, the Message says this, Jesus moved into the neighborhood. You know, the original never says He moved into the neighborhood, but I kind of like that. He did move into the neighborhood. Amen. So you've got aids. Be grateful. There are ways to learn the meaning of the Word of God. There's modern translations, modern technology. I've alluded to the CDs, MP3s, the apps that you have on your phone. There's the ebooks, the iPhone, the iPad. There is an excellent book called What the Bible is All About by Henrietta Mears, pastor of, I wanted to come off the piano when he said that. That is an excellent book to complement your Bible reading. Now, I will say this. The version that you can get today has been edited from the original version, and it's good, But if you really want to get the real good version, find a used copy from the 80s and before. Henrietta Mears wrote it back in the 50s. She was a Presbyterian minister, very ahead of her time, very godly lady. And she wrote that book. And if you read her original copy, the one Billy Graham endorsed from the last edition was 1980 something. Go on Amazon and find a used copy. It'll be even better. But if you can't find it, just get the new updated version. It'll still be good. Aren't you grateful for modern technology? Aren't you grateful for modern translations? Aren't you grateful for modern teachers? Teachers like Philip Pearson and Woody Bradley and others who teach Sunday school to complement the reading of the Word of God. Read your Bible. Be grateful. Avail yourself and read the Bible in 2021 and read it gratefully. Number two, read it humbly. Read it humbly. When you go to the Word of God, go to it in awe and in reverence. Go to the Word of God on a bended knee. And I'm not, you don't have to be physically, but spiritually. Go to God with a humble spirit. When the Bible's in front of you, read it like Pastor said, a love letter from somebody who really loves you. Read it as a text message. Read it as if the Bible were written just for you and speaking directly to you. Now, I want to say this. Don't rely on your own interpretation of every little scripture. Sometimes you can read one little passage of scripture and you can come up with a crazy idea. I've done it 100 times. That's why we have the church and teachers and people who've studied and compare. You compare scripture with scripture. When somebody says, I think that I'm going to kill my son like Abraham, I'm going to put a knife through his throat. You may want to do that because he's been hard to deal with. But there's nowhere does it teach human sacrifice. Oh, wasn't Abraham asked to kill his son? Yes, he was. But at the end of the day, he didn't, because it wasn't about Abraham killing his son. The bigger picture was God going to send his son to die in place. So people can take that one scripture, take thine son, thine only son, and offer him as a sacrifice. And on the news, you hear these weird people who've come up and said that they've murdered their child and they claim it's from the Bible. It is not from the Bible. That's a misreading of the Bible. You can't just have a private interpretation. Your interpretation must be based on study and doctrine and the full counsel of the Word of God. That's why you need to read all of it. Amen. All 60 people say, well, we don't need the Old Testament. We had a major preacher whose last name, his dad was an even more famous preacher, said that we're unhitched from the Old Testament. We don't need the Old Testament. I am sorry, but you need the Old Testament. It is one God. It's not a God of the Old Testament, a God of the New Testament. It is one God that gave us both. The same God of Jeremiah breathing out judgment. It's the same God of Calvary. Can I get a witness out here today? We need all the Word of God. So read it humbly. If it hits your sin, repent of that sin. In fact, I don't know, Sister Dardell, if you have that little, when I read a passage, is there a sin to avoid? Is there a promise to claim? Is there an example to follow? Is there a command? These are 5 things. I believe Bill Bright came out with these for young people. Is there a sin to avoid? When you read the scripture and you read about, David and Bathsheba, that's a sin to avoid. Because look at the consequences on his life. Did he make it to heaven? He sure did. But boy, did he have trouble. And what about Abraham and Sarah coming up with an idea that wasn't blessed by God? We still have problems with that. So avoid these things. These things, the Bible says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. That's Romans 15:4. Is there a promise to claim? Did you know that in the Word of God, when you read about promises, when God told Joshua every foot that you step upon is yours. That's you to promise. That's your promise. You can look at your feet and say, where the Lord is leading me is mine. Amen. And he has guided me. Claim those promises of favor and blessing and all of those. Is there an example to follow? Look at the example of Job. Look at the example of the early church. Is there a command to obey? Listen, the word of God is given to us to obey it. We're not to trifle with it and water it down. If it says thou shalt not, it's saying don't hurt yourself. If it's saying thou shalt, it's saying help yourself to happiness. If God says don't do it, there's a reason. He's the maker. Is there an action to be done? Now listen, this is something that really gets on me. Many years ago, I was pastoring a lady and she prided herself. Oh, pastor, I've read my Bible X amount of years and X amount of times. And this dear sister in Christ never invited her family to church. You never could find out if she witnessed to someone, about your neighbor. You ever got them to church? You've got to not only read the Bible, you need to practice the Bible. If it says go into all the world and preach, if it says to love your neighbor, you got to love your neighbor. Amen. If it says turn the other cheek, you need to turn the other cheek. Woohoo! Hello. Read it what? Humbly. When it gives you a command, do it. If it says to win souls, win souls. If it says love your pastor. Well, I don't like my pastor. It didn't say whether you liked him or not. Amen. You can choose to love somebody. Amen. And love them for the office they hold or whatever. Amen. The Bible says to submit unto the pastors. And if you don't love your pastor and can't submit to the pastor, then you might have to find another pastor or something that you can submit to. But a lot of times it's not the pastor that's the issue. A lot of times it's our own self. Amen. And that's not in my notes, by the way. Read it, number three, consistently. Now, I did put up here daily. But in a busy world that we live in, you just may have a day so full that you don't get literally to just open the Bible and read it. But I do believe you must read it consistently. Your consistently may be one setting every week. Your consistency may be one setting every other day. I don't think you need to go beyond the week without reading something. Amen. Because 7 days without the Bible makes one W-E-A-K. But read it consistently. Read it consistently. The author of the song Amazing Grace. Don't you love that song Amazing Grace? He was a preacher later in life. Pastored a church. He's got 4 volumes of his sermons that you can buy from the Banner of Truth. And if I had more reading time, I would buy that set and devour it myself. He said, I know not a better rule of reading the scripture than to read it through from beginning to end. And when we have finished it once, to begin it again. We shall meet with many passages which we can make little improvement of. In other words, that we can't understand. But not so many in the second reading as in the first, and fewer in the third than in the second, provided we pray to him who has the keys to open our understanding and to anoint our eyes with spiritual ointment. The course of reading today will prepare some lights or some understanding for what we shall read tomorrow and throw a farther light upon what we have read yesterday. Experience only can prove the advantage of this method if steadily persevered on. To make a few efforts and then give up is like making a few steps and then standing still, which would do little towards completing a long journey. But though a person walks slowly, and but a little bit in a day, if he walked every day and with his face in the same direction year after year, he might in time encompass the globe. By thus traveling patiently and steadily through the scripture and repeating our progress, we should increase in knowledge to the end of life. Just read it consistently. Don't start and stop. Start on it and finish it. Well, you say, well, pastor, I started last year and I hadn't finished yet. Do I need to start over? Finish it. Somebody say the word finish it. It's better to you to finish it. If it takes to Easter, finish it. Now, there is one thing I would like to add to John Newton, if I may humbly do so, the great man John Newton. I do feel like that Number one, if you are a new Christian, young Christian, do not start at the Old Testament. Start at the New Testament. Read the New Testament two or three times. Then go to the front of the Bible and begin to read all the way through. And I will say this as well. This is my personal observation. This is not doctrine. This is not perhaps Pastor Jerry's full endorsement. He may not 100% do as I do. But I do feel like just reading the Bible from beginning to end, you have a 9 months of Old Testament and 3 months of New Testament. I do believe that you need a little more New Testament than just, I don't believe you should do away with the Old Testament, but I also believe that there needs to be a little more New Testament than just 3 months or just one reading a year. So our Bible reading guide, the one I have tried, different ones. I've tried where you read the Old Testament through on and the New Testament on the same day. In other words, Old Testament in the morning, the New Testament. The problem with that is when you stretch the New Testament for a full year, you're reading very little New Testament a day, and you're reading a lot of Old Testament. However, the Bible reading guide that we have in our calendar, you actually, if you complete it just like they have it laid out, you will have read the Old Testament once, and you will have read the New Testament twice. And also, each and every day, you get an equal amount of old and new. And to throw in a little extra cake, you get to read the Proverbs 12 times and the Psalms once, right? Twice. You go through the Psalms twice. This is getting better all the time. Please listen to me. I want to help you. Get that Bible reading guide. Now, if you didn't read your Bible through in 2020 at all, go ahead and pick it up now, this week, and get started. It's not too late to get started and go through it. Because I promise you, that is one of the best ways to read the Bible. You get a balance of the old and enough of the new, and then the Psalms and the Proverbs. And I'll tell you what, your life will be changed. Amen? Your life will be changed. Now, if you started reading your Bible in 2020 and you're not quite finished, like myself, go ahead and finish. Don't stop where you are. Never stop where you are. Go all the way to the end and let God bless you as you read the Scripture. Somebody say, I'm going to read in 2021. Amen. I'm going to read in 2021. Now, that's my personal opinion. But whatever the case is, just read the Word of God and read it all the way through. Amen? And let God read it, hallelujah, gratefully. Read it humbly. Read it consistently. And then finally, read it expectantly. What is the Bible saying to me? There is the Logos word and the Rhema word. Now I'm going to close with this. The logos just means the logging, like you log your miles if you're in business, or you log information, how many people we had in church. They make a log. That's just written statements. And so the Bible is a written log, logos. It is just written, you know, you've got Genesis through Revelation. But there's also what's called the Rhema word. What is the Rhema word? It is a word from the written word. Taking on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When you study that word of God, what it means is that, yes, let me just tell you a personal example. I've read the book of Ezekiel many, many times. It's a great book, talking about the Valley of the Dry Bones, speaking to the nation of Israel all of Ezekiel is just a great, the millennial temple and the last part of Ezekiel. And, the first part is heartbreaking as you see the idolatry of the priesthood, and they're watching idols. And there was one little obscure passage of scripture, and I can't even tell you where it's at. But when I read it, it became a Rhema word from the written word. Remember, the written word is written. It's just written. But when I read it, it was like a word for me. And this is kind of a little funny, so if you want to laugh with me, that's fine. But it talked about that the people would remove from one place and move to another place. Glory to God, I'm about to shout every time I think about it. And when I read that passage, I was applying to get a mortgage. And I didn't realize that that passage just stuck out to me. It was like, you're getting ready to move from one place to another place. I was like, Lord, no way. I said, I can't get a mortgage. I can't get this. You know, I've got this issue and I've got that wall and I've got this question and that. And it may be later, maybe a few months or years. But when I read it, it was like it was now. And make a long story short, yesterday I had a U-Haul truck. I had about 60 boxes of books and 14 bookcases and two desks and a bunch of other stuff that we could stuff on 20-foot trailer. And Brother Philip, out of the book of Ezekiel, I went and removed from one place to the next. Play. Brother, God's got a word for you in that word. You get in that word and he'll speak to you and he'll shut doors and he'll warn you. You can read a passage and it'll be like, no, I better not do that. Or you can read another passage. God's about to affirm that. Somebody read it expectantly. I'm expecting him to speak to me. I need a word from the Lord. I don't need a word from the White House. I don't need a word from the Republican National Convention or the Democratic Party. I need a word from the Lord. Somebody give him praise here tonight. Jeremiah 37 and 17. It says the king took him out and the king asked him, is there a word from the Lord? Look at that passage. Is there any word from the Lord? I'm telling you, for your sickness, there's a word from the Lord. Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes we are healed. Oh, my family's not saved. Is there a word from the Lord? Acts chapter 11 and 4 says, you will be saved and your house. Jeremiah 31 and 16 says, your children shall come from the land of the enemy. Oh, what about my finances? I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. I've got more month than money. I'm here to tell you, Malachi 3 and 10 says, bring you all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse, and I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Oh, what about my future? Oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and to give you hope and a future and an expected end. You're sitting there kind of dull tonight, but I'm feeling this. I'm telling you, there's a word for your trials. Your trials are going to produce pure gold. 1 Peter 1 and 7. Oh, Pastor Ricky, we're going to die one day, and I'm afraid to die. But listen, I'll tell you, even in death, there's a word from the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's a word of God for us. Why don't you give him praise for it tonight? Stand with me. Hallelujah. There's a word for Westmoreland Church. There's a word for Pastor Jerry Nelson and our leadership. There's a word for your situation. There's a word for coronavirus. And I have a word tonight in my spirit. Coronavirus is going to be defeated and never remembered again. Oh, somebody give him praise. There's a word from the Lord tonight. Read it humbly. Read it gratefully. Read it consistently and read it expectantly. Sister Darnell, were you able to put up that little, this book contains the mind of God? If you were, fine. If you weren't, fine. That's, all right. This is what I want to close with tonight. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts binding, its histories are true, its decisions unchangeable or immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, paradise is restored. Heaven is open. The gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its subject. Our good, its design. And the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It's a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. It is given to you in life will be opened in judgment and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility. We reward the greatest labor and condemns all who trifle with its sacred contents. Somebody say amen tonight. Oh, just make this your prayer tonight. Everybody just bow your head and close your eyes and say, dear Lord Jesus, I come tonight. You just pray in your own way. And I ask you, God, to just give me a hunger and a desire as Pastor Jerry comes to just delve into that word, that written word. God, you will speak peace to your people. Lord, I pray that our 26% will go to 46% and eventually to 90%, that our church will be one of the most biblically read congregations in the entire PH Church. Oh God, this year, 2021, and for everyone watching by live stream, God, help us. Help us, Lord, to read the Bible in 2021.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Ricky. I love the word. If you would, Sister Donnell, look up Jeremiah 15:16. Jensen Franklin told the story. He was sick. Boils like bumps burst out all over his face, and he was a teenager, and he was so ashamed that he just locked himself in his room. And he took scriptures out of the Bible and pasted them all over the walls. And he read them, and he read them, and he read them, and he read them, and he just kept on reading them. Like me when I walked the walking track, and they had cut me open, and I didn't have my strength and energy. I would just quote the word on healing, and I would quote it, and I would quote it, and I would quote it. But Jensen said, I looked at those scriptures, and I read them so much that one day, if you would look up Jeremiah 15:16, please. One day, I took one of them off the wall. I chewed it up, and I ate it. And God healed that young man because he had a violent faith that just would not quit. What was his faith based upon? The Bible, which you just preached, the Word of God. Now, we are entering into 21 days of prayer and fasting, starting Sunday, January the 10th. I want you to take this scripture. I'm going to share with you one of my secrets. When I first started fasting, this was my fasting scripture because I would get so hungry. But I didn't allow myself to get hungry because Jeremiah said, look at it, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. That means the God of the armies of heaven, that I'm going to eat his word, and when I eat it, it's going to bring joy and rejoicing to my heart. Now, Jesus is the word. And in John 15:11, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Now, I read that word, and I said, Lord, I receive your joy. I've been through some hard places. I've been persecuted. I've been cast down. I've faced sickness. I've faced disease. I've faced heartache. I've faced sorrow. Just like everybody, those things are just coming to life. What has sustained me? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called, I'm chosen, you're chosen.
Yes.
I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now, if you would, Sister Donnell, put up John 15:16, because we want to go from Jeremiah 15:16 in the Old Testament to John 15:16 in the New Testament. And Jesus said, see, Jeremiah ends that by saying, I ate your word, I'm called. John says that Jesus said these words, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And the next verse says, and whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, Jesus said, he will give it you. So what I want you to do from this sermon and from embarking upon 2021, as a pastor that loves you, I want to encourage you, get that Bible reading guide.
Yes.
You will never be the well-rounded Christian you should be. You'll know a lot by listening to sermons and by reading sporadically in places. But what you will do is develop your own canon. And this is the canon. It contains 66 books.
Oh, yes.
And it's a love letter from the Father to us. I'll never forget what my daddy said. Son, if someone wrote you a love letter, would you read it all? I said, I get what you're talking about, Daddy. Isn't it wonderful that God sends people that are much, much more mature than we are into our lives to help us, to lead us, and to guide us? But this is the light. It is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Father, thank you so much for the word that was preached tonight, for the worship, for the presence of your Spirit. And God, we praise you that you are our Heavenly Father. And as Jesus taught us to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you for being here today. Expect God's message. Suit up, mask up before you leave, and honor those near you, and look at three people and tell them, you're blessed and highly favored of God. You're blessed and highly favored of God. You're blessed and highly favored of God.